Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're here with another trip report as we start each and every week. Listener Janelle is going to join us to talk about her trip down to the Fort Wilderness Cabins. Maybe you're not so adventurous, but hey, who knows? Maybe after this show, you want to rough it Disney style over at the cabins. Let's hear from our sponsors. First of all, it's our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy over at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They're the official website of the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World, and they have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day of your Disney experience, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. One of the great features they have is that if you're looking for a hard-to-get advanced dining reservation at Disney, drop by the site. They have a tool there that will notify you immediately via text when that ADR opens up, and then you can hop on My Disney Experience and grab that ADR. It is an awesome way to secure things like Be Our Guest or Ohana. Just one of the great tools they have over there. You can get a premium subscription right now for $14.95. So think about that. A full year of great information and tools to help you plan an awesome Disney vacation for the price of a soda and a pretzel down at Walt Disney World. It's a no-brainer. Grab it today. Make your next Disney vacation awesome. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1207 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Thanks so much for downloading the show and for joining us here again on the Be Our Guest Podcast. You know what? You might have a case of the Mondays here in early August, but have no fear. We're taking you to Disney for the next 30 minutes. And you know what? It's kind of the dog days of summer. Unfortunately, here in the Midwest and in the South, everybody's going back to school. I'm not this year, but hey, I can't brag too much. I'll get in trouble with all my teacher friends. But what we're going to talk about is one of the things that I think a lot of folks think about doing when you're down at Walt Disney World, but I think a lot of folks have not done. That's definitely my case. I'm really curious about the cabins at Fort Wilderness, and we're going to talk about that today. My wife says it is too rustic for her. I'd like to go for it, but you know what? Happy wife, happy life. So that's my motto, and that's what I live by. So joining me today from the wonderful state of North Carolina, but with relatives here in the 314 in St. Louis, we have Janelle. Thanks for joining us today, Janelle.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So how are things down in North Carolina?
It's good. It's super warm, very hot, very humid. Yeah, typical.
I guess that's what we call summer here in the United States. So things are good.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't really complain. All right, so let's dive into this trip. When you mentioned that you stayed at Fort Wilderness, I was excited because we get a lot of people that stay, you know, Pop Century, Riverside, you know, the traditional resorts, Coronado, you know, Polynesian, and so forth. I think that, and tell me if I'm wrong here, because maybe you were in this situation at one point. I know your family is kind of veteran Disney travelers. But the cabins, I think a lot of people have the cabins kind of off the radar. I know that's true of my family. I'm kind of curious, but my wife says no, because of transportation, because it looks too rustic. So how did you guys end up at the cabins, and what's your backstory with that?
So we love the cabins. I've only stayed on property at Disney. This is the third trip ever, and we've only ever stayed in the cabins, actually.
Wow.
We really like that it has a full kitchen. because we'd rather just be able to make our breakfast and make our dinners. That's more of our touring style, is that we'd just rather have lunch in the park or have like a nice, like a special snack, like a cheeseburger spring roll or like a citrus swirl, something like that, instead of having like a big meal in the actual park. We really like the cabins.
You know what I found out? Because when we went down for this trip back in July last month, was that we got to share a villa with our friends, the Gardeners. And so we had a two-bedroom villa over at Old Key West. And it really did. I mean, I just kept saying this. We stayed there for 5 nights. And I just kept saying over and over that this felt so different than any other Disney vacation we'd ever taken. Because, you know, we had like, you know, we had the two bedrooms, we had the split, you know, we had the, you know, they were on the one side, we're in the other. We had the living room and the kitchen area in the middle. We had the patio over the golf course. But right. in the mornings, like you said, we'd use the full stove, and we ordered on Amazon Prime Now. We had bacon. We had cinnamon rolls. We had we ordered the Nestle break and bake cookies. I mean, it was like being at home. I mean, and I guess that's what Disney sold them as, like the home away from home accommodations. But it really did. I mean, it made us want to stay there rather than go to the theme parks. Is that true of you guys?
Exactly. And when I was going over what my notes I made whenever I got back, my journal entries I did when I got home from the trip, I noticed that we did spend a fair amount of time like back in the cabin. And it is like, it's like your own little house, because it has the pool stove. It has the deck with the patio, a grill. So you grilled out one night. It's like your own house, and you can, you know, you pull right up to the cabin. You don't have to park it somewhere and lug all your luggage everywhere. You can just load up your car and walk right in the cabin. It's super convenient. The only thing is, though, the internal bus transportation. But how we get around that is we like to stay in the loop that's closest to the actual like check-in desk. Like, I think it's called the settlement trading post, I believe it is. So we like to just walk to the main bus stop there instead of having to worry about taking the internal buses to the actual main buses to get to Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios. And we'd rather just have to wait for the internal bus to get to the boat launches for Magic Kingdom. And that's worked out really well for us.
Great tip, because that's, you know, that's what we want this show to be about, that if you're considering staying at the cabins, and maybe this after the show you are, you know, best practices to make the most out of that stay. And that's definitely something I've heard before, you know, that location does matter when it comes to your stay at the cabins, because you have that internal bus system and you kind of have to navigate that to get to the point where, you know, you got to go like one extra step to get where you would catch the bus, say at a Pop Century or Riverside. So good tip there. Now, let me ask you, let's kind of go back a little bit and let's talk about the planning.
Yeah.
So you guys are veteran planners. So when this particular trip came about, how did it happen? Like, did you decide, like, this is when we want to go? Do you decide on this, like, at a family event? How's it happen?
So what happened is that my husband has actually never been to Disney World. This is his very first trip ever. And, of course, I grew up going, and my dad went the year after the park opened, and my parents went multiple times before they had kids and after they had me and my brother. So I really wanted to go with my husband, and our fifth anniversary was actually last November, which fell on Veterans Day. So I knew I was off work, he was off work, and I was like, let's go to Disney World. You've never been before. It's our fifth anniversary. Let's have lots of fun. And then my parents found out, and they're like, well, we want to go. And so since they were, you know, helping pay for everything, and they were helping me plan too, we did a family trip.
You're a much kinder person than I. You know, so we're celebrating our anniversary. We'll go some other time. You know, come on.
No, it was fine. Yeah, we have family in Florida too. So, so it worked out.
You know, since we are recording this, actually, we're live on Facebook at the same time on our on our video channel. Joe Catroci, the Super Looper, is joining us, and he has a question for you. And I thought I'd throw this in just kind of as we go through. He's asking what your thoughts would be if it was just a single couple wanting to stay at the cabins. Do you think it would be something that is feasible? Because you got all that space, which is great for a larger group.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you say? Like, if you were, you know, the situation came up, you and your husband only at a cabin, would you do that?
Right. I probably would. I really like the atmosphere. It's super relaxing. Like, you really don't even feel like you're at Disney World. You go into the parks and it's so busy and it's so crowded. And whenever you get back to the Fort Wilderness at night, it's just so much calmer and it's so quiet. And we really like the relaxing atmosphere about it. And I also really do like how it feels like a home away from home, that you have your whole kitchen, the separate two rooms. I really feel like it's a really good value, honestly, for Disney World for what you get. Because having not to spend all the money in food and restaurants in the parks, which is totally fun, and it's fun to go out to eat and enjoy all these places, but it makes it more special if you have a few really nice meals, I feel like, and then just, you know, eat like normal during the rest of your trip.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the
I would recommend it, though. Yeah.
And that's awesome, because Joe's excited to hear that. And one of the things I would say, too, is like what we did, we didn't ever eat breakfast out. You know, we had breakfast in the villa as we got up, kind of took our time. You know, we had the girls. It took them a little bit longer to get ready. They wanted to sleep in. We were running them ragged. So we had Pop-Tarts. We had donuts. We had stuff like that. And like you said, it did save a little bit of money because we weren't going to like a food court and spending maybe $20 on a breakfast. You know, I was having a Pop-Tart and a cinnamon roll that we made for, you know, a couple bucks. So I think that, and also, like you said, with the cabins themselves, they're priced in that moderate category. Where if you're looking at the deluxe villas, you know, those are in the deluxe category. So basically you're getting kind of the same accommodation of a deluxe size and a deluxe, like with the stove, the refrigerator, the full kitchen, stuff like that. You're getting that at a moderate price. So I would say, like you said, they're high on the value scale. And it sounds like you agree.
Exactly. And then also, I feel like it's a time saving measure too. Like we did a lot of rope drops this trip. So being able to get up super early and eat breakfast real quick and then head out, I feel like it saved a lot of time instead of having to stop at a food court or get some kind of quick service or something like that.
Now, did you ever miss that? Because that is one thing over at Old Key West that I kind of, and again, you know, you have your plus in your mind. Says, I love the villa. I loved having all the food and stuff right there in the kitchen area. But, you know, there were a couple times where I missed, like at Riverside or Pop Century, going down and just getting a mac and cheese or something. Now, they do have goods and stuff over at Old Key West, but was there any place, like I know you can go to the Trails End Window and stuff like that, but did you find yourself hankering to do any like food court grazing while you were there?
No, honestly not, because we stopped at Publix at the grocery store on our first day and just stocked up the kitchen, so we had tons of snacks and stuff, and then we drove down, so we had a whole bunch of snacks in the car too. Yeah, we tried to avoid that, but we just had our special treats in like Magic Kingdom and at various parks, and it was food and wine, so we had our special snacks in the actual park, but no, nothing at Trails End or anything this trip.
That's so okay. All right, so let's talk about the time of year you went. You went, you said Veterans Day weekend, and I know that can be kind of a nutty time down at Walt Disney World. It's very busy. Yes. A lot of schools are out for the weekend. You know, you got the end of Food and Wine. You got the races kind of around that time. Maybe not that weekend, but around then. Some people hang out till Veterans Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think? Would you recommend going that time of year for somebody that's thinking about it?
Okay, so I will say the weather was great. It was perfect weather. It wasn't hot, but it was, I know they call it Jersey Week, and I had read like differing reports about if it was really busy or if it wasn't, and it was like a myth or whatever, but we definitely felt the crowd. This was the first multi-day trip I've had since 2012. I've done a few just random one-day trips when we were visiting family in Florida, and it was so intense. Like my notes I made when I got home, my journals, I was like, the crowds were serious. The last time I went in 2012, it was May, and it was like right, it was during Flower and Garden. I think it was right before Mother's Day or maybe right after Mother's Day. And I do not remember feeling it being nearly as busy as this week was.
Yeah, I will tell you personally, because, you know, I wasn't there this weekend. I was there, I think the weekend before was the Wine and Dine race weekend last year. I think it was the weekend before Veterans Day. And I will tell you that we were in Epcot on that Saturday of that weekend. I guess it was the day of the race. I can't remember. But it was that weekend. And no kidding, I had to go from the American Adventure over to the land to pick up a bib for Ricky to run one of the races. It took me an hour to get from America Pavilion over to the land. And I mean, I was trying to walk as fast as I could. The crowds were like, it felt like over that weekend, like New Year's Eve. I mean, I've been there New Year's Eve. I've been there Christmas time. It felt exactly the same. The only difference was it was like 100 degrees that day, you know, so it was like miserable hot, people wall to wall. So I was blown away with the crowds, you know, in early November for Epcot in the Food and Wine Festival, which the Food and Wine Festival is awesome, and I don't want to discourage anybody, but as we've always said, it's best done during the week, during the day, and I would say earlier in the season. And it sounds like you're saying the same, because the crowds do get kind of insane once Jersey Week hits.
Right, and especially on actual Veterans Day. We were in the Magic Kingdom, and whenever we got there, they had signs up for like the holiday filming, so I think they were filming the holiday parade that day. And then they had a whole bunch of other, I think we saw Julianne Hough. She was filming something there too that day. And it was just between that, having things roped off and extra security, and then the sheer amount of people in the park, it was insane. Like, we had our fast passes, but any, like, the wait for people mover, we waited like 30 minutes to get on the people mover. We wanted to ride it one last time before we left. We ended up doing Country Bear Jamboree and the Tiki Room and going to the shooting gallery to waste time between our fast passes because it was just so busy, and we had nowhere nice to, you know, just hang out. It was just so many people.
That's amazing how popular the Country Bears can get on a day like that, you know. It's like, oh, that's an awesome
filmed
show. The Tiki Birds too.
It was filmed.
It's awesome. They probably made the Bears feel good about themselves for a couple days, you know, give them a little self-esteem shot. So talk me through your time in the parks, because you were there with your parents, your husband, and this was your first time there, being there with like the new My Disney Experience, the new FastPass Plus, mm-hmm. and all that. So how did you navigate those changes, and how did you make that work in your favor for this trip?
So I definitely listened to a ton of Disney podcasts, including yours, planning. I was ready for our fast passes 60 days out, 7 a.m. in the morning. I had all of our trips or all of our days planned out, had all our fast passes ready to go. So I was able to snag all the fast passes that we did want. However, I did not get a fast pass for Frozen Ever After, and we decided to rope drop that ride. But all, you know, we had Mine Train several times. We had Peter Pan. That's my mom's favorite ride. We did that a few times. Space Mountain, and then the classics, Pirates and Haunted Mansion. And then Tower of Terror, everything at Hollywood Studios. But yeah, it was definitely different with the My Disney Experience and Fast Pass Plus, because that, like you said, that was the first time. The last time I went, it was still the paper Fast Pass system. I really did like, though, I liked having everything set, but also it did kind of take away from the spontaneity overall, but it was nice to have everything ready. It was just kind of a chore to get everything ready 60 days out to be ready for that.
Yeah, let me bounce this off you, because most of the people that I talk to, you know, have been going quite a bit since the My Disney Experience system took over and the FastPass Plus, and it's been, you know, you still have that kind of the old system kind of still fresh in your mind. I think what it is for me, and I've been thinking about this over the last year, is that, you know, like my first couple of trips on the new system with FastPass Plus, I was frustrated because I had mm-hmm. learned how to use the old system to my advantage. I'd be the guy who went out, I'd set an alarm on my watch and say, okay, well, now I can get another paper FastPass and bank it and bank them and bank them. And then that night we'd have six or seven and just go flying through the park, you know, using all these, because they didn't enforce the close, you know, the window for the, you know, when they expired for a while. So we go on all these rides at night. But now what I found out was I'm really starting to like My Disney Experience, because we didn't really rope drop any parks, because we scheduled all the headliners for, say, 10:30 every morning. So we got to sleep in a little on vacation, which was kind of unheard of. I got to get in my morning run without having to stress out or get up at 4:30 in the morning. It was really nice. And I think with My Disney Experience and the FastPass Plus system is that you got to grow into it and see that, wow, this kind of, we had a great trip and we never had to get up at the crack of dawn, which we could have and got more attractions in. But I still like the advantage that I had guaranteed experiences that were right there. I think you just got to kind of get used to it. Do you feel like maybe that might be your situation, or would you like to go back to the legacy system?
I really did like My Disney Experience. And I guess, yeah, we could have, because our fast passes were later in the afternoon, but we still rope dropped because we just wanted to get up early and get to the parks, and we'd rather just like take our midday break and maybe call it an early night and just wear ourselves out. And just get all the rides done 2 a.m. so we can do, you know, Space Mountain a few times that day instead of just the one time for the fast pass. But yeah, I really do like how it is guaranteed and you know for sure, so you can better kind of plan the rest of the day.
So did you stay with your parents the entire time, or did you just meet up for meals, or how did you plan to, you know, tour as a group in the parks?
So we did split up a few times. We'd leave the cabin together and like ride the boat over to Magic Kingdom together, or we'd be in the same park, but we would split up sometimes. They, you know, would go back and take a break, whereas me and my husband would hang out still in the park. That specifically happened whenever we were at Epcot. We hopped from Hollywood Studios to Epcot, took the boat over. They headed back to the cabin, and we just enjoyed the food and wine booth during the week. And I don't think we rode any rides that day, but we just kind of snacked around and had a few drinks. And we met back up for the Star Wars fireworks that night. but we would split up and then we'd meet back up together. But we all had our fast passes together for the most part. There was a few times my parents opted not to do Space Mountain. I think the third time that trip with the fast pass, they decided to ride Buzz Lightyear instead. They did not want to do Space Mountain anymore.
Space Mountain, every time I go down, it gets rougher and rougher. But I think it's just I'm getting older and older, I think is what the problem is.
No, maybe for me too. Yeah, it's definitely a rough ride.
It kills me because it's my favorite ride. It's my favorite attraction, and it just... Right. It doesn't love me back anymore. So
no,
it kills my back, actually.
It's rough.
So you mentioned, you know, it was Food and Wine time and you guys went over there. So, you know, we're almost, I can't believe it, you know, it's August. So, we're almost in Food and Wine season already. So folks are heading down to the festival here for 2017. What do you remember from last year's festival that might be helpful for somebody heading down this year?
Well, we went during, I think it was a Wednesday when we went to Epcot, and it wasn't too bad. We kind of went at like 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it wasn't too crowded around the food booth that time back in World Showcase. I just remember I really, really wanted to try the cheddar cheese soup from Canada or Le Cellier.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I was like, I have to try that. So we tried that. I found a listing of all the foods before I actually went on our trip. And I kind of looked through that to kind of make notes of what I wanted to make sure I got to try. So I would recommend doing that, going through if you can find a listing of all the available items to see what are your must do. So you kind of plan ahead for that. And that way you don't, you know, impulse get something else and then see something else later on and be, man, I wish I didn't have gotten that first thing. I wish I would have saved room for this.
Yeah, that's, you know what, that's the problem that I have over there. It's not so much, my thing is I get full pretty quickly because like I say, I'll go into the festival and I'll see, ooh, that looks good. Those sliders, I need like three. You know, the thing is I need to like not go all in on stuff. I get excited when I see something I like, you know, like at Hawaii, they had the slider booth. I'm like, I'm all about sliders. You know, we have White Castles here in St. Louis and they're good. You know, they're definitely better at the Food and Wine Festival. So I got to feel those. I fill up. So I think you got great advice there is to kind of get that guide, which you can always find online. The Mouse for Less has it way before the festival starts. A lot of websites, but you can kind of see like, okay, these, and I guess what you could do basically is like rank them. Like, okay, I'm going to make sure I go to these five first because I know I won't be full. And then, you know, 6 through 10, I might already be stuffed and I might be out of luck. So I think that's a good tip there because, you know, with 40 some booths, you know, and especially if you want to have some adult beverages as well, those can fill you up too. So, or they can actually make you more hungry, I guess, sometimes for me. That's what usually happens if I drink tequila. I'll eat everything in sight. So, but yeah, I think that's a great advice. Have a plan because if you go in there blind, you're really going to kind of miss out on a lot of what the festival has to offer.
Right. And 45 booths, that's extremely overwhelming for this year. So I would definitely recommend planning ahead, even though some people might not like to do that. But I know for me, that's just what would work best for me to make sure I get to experience what I want to.
Did you guys do any of the events other than the booths? Did you go to any of the specialty presentations or anything like that?
No, nothing at Food and Wine, but we did go to the Christmas party.
Okay, well, hey, let's talk about that because it's almost Christmas party time. No, it's actually almost Halloween party time, which is scary. I can't believe it. The Halloween party starts this month. Oh my gosh,
right,
what's going
on? August,
end of August.
Month.
When this airs, I don't want to freak people out to think it's starting in the next couple of days when we're recording, but it will start if you're listening on a Monday. It starts this month. So, what were your tips on the Christmas party? It's so much. I enjoyed it. It's expensive, but it's fun.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to, when I found out that there was going to be a Christmas party during the week that we were going, I knew I definitely wanted to do that. And you're right, it is expensive. For us, we really wanted to be able to enjoy the lower crowds and, you know, the walk on the rides. And that was the major thing that we wanted to get out of it. We did go to the castle lighting and that was, we thought, we really, really enjoyed that. We thought it was really beautiful. We enjoyed the holiday wishes, fireworks. We enjoyed the free cookies and hot chocolate, even though it was kind of warm that night, but we definitely ate a ton of cookies. Our major thing was the rides and also the parade. And that was actually the only parade we watched that week, but we loved it. We loved the toy soldiers. We loved when it snowed. It was a lot of fun.
Now, did you guys hang out on Main Street USA? Because that's my number one recommendation. I know not everybody does. Frontierland, you can see the parade just fine as well. But I think there's something about the Halloween party I like better on in Frontierland. It seems more like spooky back there. But the Christmas party, Main Street with the fake snow and just the buildings kind of look Victorian. I don't know. I think you got to see it on Main Street.
Yeah, Right. We were actually trying to get on Main Street for the first parade, and there wasn't any space, so we didn't get there early enough. So we stayed around the hub, and we were actually able to sit on the curb. We had enough space. Within the second parade, we were on the Main Street section, so we got to see it then. And a lot of people had already left the park.
That's awesome. So now, did you find the crowds to be manageable? Because I know that, you know, over the past few years, they've sold more and more tickets to those events. What they used to be was really intimate, and like you just walk on every attraction. And that's not necessarily the case anymore. But what did you feel about the crowd size for your party? Because, again, you know, you're in early to mid-November. You're not that close to Christmas yet.
Right. Right. It did seem kind of like forced Christmas since we were all wearing Christmas shirts. But yeah, I think it was actually Election Day when we went. So it was very early November. Most of the rides were walk-ons or like a 10-minute, 15-minute, 20-minute wait. The only exception was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and I believe Peter Pan. And we did ride the Mine Train during the party, but we rode it right after the fireworks. We ran back there. And we only had to wait like 10 minutes. But I was checking on the app the whole party, and it was like a 45-minute wait, which isn't long for a lot of people to wait. But whenever we had fast pass during the week, it wasn't worth it to wait. Yeah. That long during the party.
Yeah, it's almost like you feel like you have one hand tied behind your back at one of those hard ticket events because, you know, everybody's got a free shot. And the people that are the planners with the great fast passes, you're like, oh, I can't. Everybody's equal here. What's going on? I can't wait this long. I've been frustrated by that. You know, it's kind of weird that, you know, it's like, oh, I know how to use this system so well. I can't get around it here. Before I go into dining, because I do want to ask you about some of your dining, because that's always an essential part of a Disney vacation. Jeanette, mm-hmm. One of our great agents over at the Magic for Less, is in our live chat, and she mentions that if you're staying at the cabins and you have teens, she says to request a cabin. This is smart, too. I would have never thought about this, but this makes so sense. To request a cabin near one of the comfort stations, because then everybody can get ready at the same time. You send the teens out to the comfort station. She says they're immaculately kept. She just put that in there because she knew I couldn't pronounce it. So they're nice, I guess you could say. So everybody gets ready at the same time. Everybody's ready to hit the parks and have a good morning. So that's a great tip, I guess. You know, it's like having dorm-style bathrooms right there on the go. I like it. Good job, Jeanette.
That is a great tip.
That's good. That's why she's smart. That's why she's a great trip planner, and she takes great care of her guests and my guests when I have to go take care of something at an ER earlier in the week. Anyway, so let's hop into your dining. And you mentioned that, you know, you guys, you did some, you know, preparing food in the cabin itself. But what were some of the dining experiences you had while you were there?
So after listening to your podcast, I decided that we had to go to Sanaa.
Yes.
So we went to Sanaa. Yes. And we really liked that. We went during lunchtime because I knew that if we went for dinner, it'd be dark. We wouldn't be able to see the animals.
Good tip.
So we went for lunch. We went for lunch. We requested a seat, a table by the window. We did have to wait a little bit longer, but it was totally worth it. And we definitely had to order the bread service, and we loved that so much.
Oh, you're killing me. Cause I had that myself last week when we were down there. We had the bread service and I had the, some kind of a burger. I don't think it was buffalo. Okay. It was some kind of a burger, but it tasted good. I split it with my wife, but the bread service, we got all the sauces, all the 9 dips or whatever they're called. We got the full on bread service. And again, if you haven't done that, every podcast talks about this. It's amazing. I mean, it just seems to me like pizza dough without the pizza on top. I mean, but different kinds, but I don't know what it is, but that stuff is so good. I could eat like 30 of those pieces of bread. It's amazing. And I'm glad you enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, we definitely enjoyed it. And we got all the sauces too. And whenever we had commented about how the spicy sauces, we didn't feel they were spicy. Like they were delicious, but we were like, these are supposed to be spicy. They actually brought out, like, they were like, oh, we have an extra spicy one in the back that we don't bring out. And so they brought that out for us. And we loved that too.
No, see, we gave them numbers. You know, 1 was the mildest, you know, the first one, and then it went up to 9. 9 was the hottest, and 8 and 9 tore me up. So you're much stronger than I am. I couldn't. 9 I did once, and I was like, man, am I sweating and everything? I was like, nope, not touching 9.
Oh, no.
Messed with 8 a little bit, but I stayed 7 and below the rest of the time. It was fun. It's fun to explore things like that because they're different tastes. I mean, we definitely don't have anything like that here in the Midwest.
All right, right.
So where else did you guys go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, besides that, we did have Be Our Guest on our actual anniversary for lunch. I actually did not get that 180 days out. So I was checking constantly daily to try to find some availability during one of our Magic Kingdom days. And I was so glad I was able to go, and it was awesome. I'm really glad we went for lunch. I feel like the food was a really good value for what we got. I got like a roast beef sandwich on a baguette. My husband got this really good pork dish, and that was it looked really good, and I had a bite. It was delicious. And it was so nice in there. It was so pretty. It was so well themed. I loved it.
Yeah, I can't agree more. You know, if you can't get in for dinner, it's not like a second rate experience when you go for lunch. You know, it's counter service. It's not table service, but the dining room still is just as, you know, jaw dropping when you walk in. It's breathtaking. It is like walking into the movie, and they have really good food for the lunch crowd. And like you said, I've had that roast beef sandwich, and it is head and shoulders above any roast beef sandwich I can get here around St. Louis counter service. So it's good stuff. I don't know if it's the environment, if it's the Disney bug biting into me that I like it so much, but yeah, I agree. That's a great meal and a great way to have a nice counter service meal. And it doesn't take as much time, especially in the Magic Kingdom. A lot of times you're trying to get so much done because there's so many attractions in that park that you don't want to waste, you know, maybe an hour and a half dining. Sometimes you just want to move on and have some fun.
Right, right, exactly. And we did actually pre-order our food too, which I'm really thankful that we did that. My husband was like, really, we have to pre-order our food? but I mean, because when we walked up for our reservation, the line was ridiculous to go and actually place your order. So we just got to go walk right in. That was nice too.
You know what? And you know what? That's expanded now to many, many restaurants around the Walt Disney World Resort. And I'm a huge fan of that. I know they had that at the Santuli Canteen in Pandora while we were down there. And while we didn't use it because we just kind of walked up, I wanted to see, you know, just for the sake of the podcast, I want to walk through the queue and see what it was like to order at the stations. But I guarantee you, moving forward, I'm going to be ordering my food ahead of time because, you know what, it just takes, I think for one thing, it'll be really fast, you know, because you just order it. There's somebody probably back there prepping that, putting it in that, you know, side window for you to pick up, and you've already paid for it on the app and everything. I just think that you got a lot better chances of nothing going wrong and being very, very efficient. So I'm glad to see Disney's pioneered that at Be Our Guest, and it's spreading out to the other locations around the resort.
Right. It makes it very convenient.
All right. So where else did you guys eat?
We mainly just had snacks and then the food and wine booth, really. That was our major dinners were Sanaa and then Yard Guest.
But that's a great tip, though, about going for lunch or going before it gets dark, because, you know, if you go in the winter, you know, fall or winter time in Florida, it still gets dark pretty early. And, you know, if it's dark, that's half the fun of going to Sanaa, seeing the animals.
Exactly.
We had a big giraffe like come right up to the window. It's amazing what you get to see there, because I think a lot of folks think, maybe I'll see like a deer or like a one of those tommies or, you know, something like a warthog. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you see full on giraffes and zebras and all kinds of stuff at Sanaa.
Yeah, we saw giraffes, wildebeest. We actually hung out. There's like that fire pit area out back in the savannah. We hung out there for a little bit and just watched the animals there too. It was really nice.
Good tips. All right. So as we close out this show and, you know, turn everybody loose here on a Monday, say you're planning another trip and you want to improve it from this trip. Of course, we can always get back and we say, you know, I really like that we did this, this, and this, but next time I think if I had this to do again, I would change this or that. So what kind of things or what kind of advice would you offer somebody planning a trip similar to yours, you know, especially coming into the fall here, into the food and wine season? What advice could you give somebody that's getting ready to go down to Walt Disney World and considering maybe staying at the cabins or going in early November?
I would say if you're staying in the cabins, don't worry about bringing any kind of pots or pans or anything. They have it fully stocked. If you might want to think about bringing a crock pot, which we actually did one night and made that for our dinner. I would also recommend for early November, just be ready for the crowds. Don't think because it's, you know, kids are back in school, but like you said, a lot of kids are out of school and they're on fall break or some kind of break. And so definitely expect the crowd, and you still need to plan and make sure that you know what you're doing each day.
All right. Well, it sounds like you had a great trip. And do you have any other trips on the horizon? I know we're all at least dreaming, but do you have any on the books?
Nothing on the books, but I'm trying to get a group down for my 30th birthday to just go and have a blast. So that's about 2 years out. But nothing on the books official.
Make it happen. I know Hannah, Pam's daughter, had her big 21st birthday down there, and Paige went down, and they had, I didn't ask, but they said they had a good time. So that's all I need to know. They had fun. So. It's Disney, so how bad could it be? At least they didn't go to Vegas or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Good deal going to Walt Disney World. Well, Janelle, I really appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for coming on the show, and hope to cross paths with you down at Walt Disney World sometime.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. So it is the dog days of summer. It is hot everywhere here in the United States. You need a good book and a glass of lemonade. I don't know where you're going to get your lemonade, but I can tell you where to get your great book. It's called The Wisdom of Walt. It's by Jeff Barnes, and it talks about how Walt Disney turned his dreams into the reality that we love, the Disneyland theme park. And then it expanded into Walt Disney World, and there might even be another book in the works here very soon talking about that subject. But hey, if you want to get inspired, especially my teacher friends out there, you know, I'm not going back to the classroom this year. I'm missing out on all that fun of back to school, but all my teacher friends, get inspired. And I'm telling you, this book, The Wisdom of Walt, is going to get you fired up for making your classroom as awesome as it can be. You change lives every day in your classrooms. Grab that book, get inspired yourself, and in turn, inspire those kids that are sitting in your classrooms. If you're in the corporate world, do the same. Inspire your clients and be the best person you can be. This book gets you fired up for everything you do. So check it out over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Also, don't wait in lines. That's for suckers. Go around those lines and have a great time in your next Disneyland, Walt Disney World, or Universal Vacation with a premium subscription to touringplans.com. So check them out and make that next vacation awesome over at touringplans.com. Please do use our affiliate link anytime you do some shopping on Amazon. Back to school is a great time to do some shopping online, and we appreciate it each and every time you shop with our link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We get a little kickback from Amazon, and it helps support the show. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon for all your back-to-school shopping needs. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thanks so much, as always, for checking out the show and for hanging with us here for about 35 minutes talking some Disney. We'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. So for Janelle, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.